Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Booked and released today in Georgia, but John Eastman still doubling down on 2020.
Do you still think the election was stolen?
Absolutely.
Still?
No question. No question in my mind.
He is accused of creating that fake elector scheme and now faces charges along with former President Trump. Trump, of course, said to surrender Thursday after tomorrow's Republican primary debate in Milwaukee. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
The day after the debate, Trump will be in Georgia for the Fulton County for the arrest there. And from talking to Republican strategists yesterday, they acknowledge that could really take some of the oxygen out of whoever really performs well at this debate.
South Texas is getting hit by Harold now. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams is tracking the tropical storm.
A tropical storm warning stretches 200 miles, rainfall rates an inch an hour or more, and these gusty winds could take out power, kick up surf, and cause coastal flooding.
All eight people, including six children, have now been rescued from a dangling chairlift in Pakistan. They were stuck thousands of feet above ground for hours after a cable snapped on their way to school.
Lo que vimos fue un gesto inaceptable.
Spain's prime minister is slamming Soccer Federation president Luis Rubiales for kissing a female player on the lips after the country's World Cup win. Pedro Sanchez calls it unacceptable and says Rubiales' apology is not enough. He welcomed and celebrated the team's victory today at the presidential palace. President Biden outlined his new student loan forgiveness plan today.
To pay back that loan, you had to pay 10% of your discretionary income. That's all the income available to you after you pay for food, housing, and all your basic needs. Under my new plan, reducing that payment to just 5% of your disposable income.
Eligible borrowers can enroll now. Otherwise, repayments resume in October. Three people are dead and three others are in the hospital from drinking milkshakes in Tacoma. Cairo's Bridget Chavez is there.
The Washington State Department of Health says the milkshake machines weren't cleaned correctly, and investigators found listeria in the ice cream. Bill Marler is a food safety lawyer.
If anyone has headaches, pain in their arms, they need to go to the hospital immediately.
Screen time could be hurting your kids. CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
A new study in the journal JAMA Pediatrics finds one-year-olds exposed to more than 4 hours of screen time a day are up to three times as likely to experience developmental delays in speech, problem-solving, and social skills by the time they're two.
They can scream all they want, but experts say screens limit verbal exchanges. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, August 23rd. In Wood County, the Port Edwards Public Works regular monthly meeting will begin at 3 p.m. at the Marshall Bueller Center on 211 Market Avenue. The Parks and Recreation regular monthly meeting will follow at 4. In Portage County, the Public Safety Emergency Management Committee will meet at 8 a.m. at the Portage County LEC Training Room on Strongs Avenue. They will be presenting the Portage County Sheriff's Office Awards and hearing the Sheriff's Office activity reports, among other items. They will also have discussion and take possible action on issues to include increasing the dog license taxes and a new position request for a drug investigator. The Solid Waste Management Board will meet at 4 in the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. The City of Adams Planning Commission will meet at 5 at the City Municipal Building. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 72. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow, high of 98. 70 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this August 22nd, 2023. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Sue Sipple from the Family Center. Looking forward to talking with Sue. Right now, looking forward to talking with our good friend Lacey Ayling, Events and Engagement Director with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Good afternoon, Lacey.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And you brought a friend. We have Laura Bonner here, Laura Bonner Ridgway with us here. She is from Workforce and the Community Development Director over there. Good afternoon, Laura.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for being here. We all have to take a second to do the whole afternoon thing, don't we? it's really taking some getting used to. It really is. Lacey, let's dive into great things going on with our chamber. Where do you want to start? I always like starting with coffee with the chamber.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's coming up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's already, we're almost into September. It's crazy. Yeah,
it is.
So we have tomorrow Coffee with the Chamber at the Chamber of Commerce. You can also do this virtually. It's going to be in the Chamber Boardroom from 8:30 to 10. We are going to receive a local economic update from Kyle Kearns, our Director of Community Development.
Kyle's such a good talker. He's joined us on the air many times. Not only is he a good talker, though, but Kyle really, really cares not only about this community, but about making sure people understand what's going on in this community. I'm always appreciative of people like the Neil deGrasse Tysons or Bill Nye or people like that that can discuss or give you really heavy topics that I can't understand, but they can break it down to where mm-hmm. I can understand it.
Absolutely.
Kyle does that really well.
I'm excited. I think it's important for us to all know exactly, you know, what's happening in the community we live in.
And you guys are having this at the chamber, so you get to have mm-hmm. some friends and some people
yes.
over. That's nice.
And coffee.
Yes.
There's going to be coffee that's going to be sponsored by us, but the event will be sponsored by Ho-Chunk Nakusa.
A big shout out to them and thank them for sponsoring it. And you had me at coffee, really,
right.
to be honest with you, Lacey. It's a fun event. So with this being a event, do they need to register today? Can they register at the, you know, maybe an hour even before?
Yes. So you can register at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com, and then it's obviously free for chamber members.
Very cool. We got only a couple of these left, Lacey. Only a couple Lunch by the Rivers left. Before we talk about the ones coming up, I do want to rewind just for a second to last week's Thursday. And thank you for all the great work that you did down there. I know we didn't get to hang out as long as we wanted to at the Lunch by the River. Mother Nature had other plans.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the boss. So,
yes.
you know, we kind of have to follow her. But Lacey did such an amazing job down there. And the time we were down there, I saw you bopping around, making sure everybody was doing well. They had what they needed. And as soon as things, you know, started going the other direction, you're working harder than anybody trying to make sure everybody was all right and taking
you.
Care of the vendors and everybody. Nice work down there.
Because
you can't plan for these things.
I know. I felt bad. I think I said I was sorry like
you
10
did,
times.
Like 10
and
times.
I was like,
yeah,
I'm so
yeah.
sorry. Everyone was like, why are you sorry? You didn't make it rain. But I still felt bad that obviously the singers had to wrap up a little sooner than we intended. But
wait a
they
second.
Were great.
Is that why you were saying you're sorry? Did you make it rain?
No.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
It's supposed to be good luck. But
yeah,
I didn't feel like it was good luck last week.
Well, it looks like we're going to have some pretty nice temperatures and some weather coming up this Thursday for Lunch by the River. Got a good one lined up, too.
Yes, we do. And it's going to be, I would assume, pretty warm. I think
yes.
it's going to be warm
yeah.
this week. It's going to be 11:30 to 1, obviously, at Veterans Memorial Park. And then we're going to be sponsored by, obviously, our season sponsor is Enbridge, but then our co-sponsors are Ocean Spray Cranberries and then Prevail Bank this week. Mm-hmm. And then entertainment by Two Saints and an Ain't, mm-hmm. which I always...
It's one of the best band names ever. I know. It's a great one.
It always bothers me whenever I'm typing it up because the autocorrect wants to change it.
Really good band, too. Yes, really good band.
Absolutely. I'm excited. And then we have Rocky Rococo, Chatterbox, and then Joe's Street Eats is going to be the food vendors there. So definitely come check it out. Bring some lawn chairs. Coming, obviously, this is one of the last ones of the summer. So
yeah, and enjoy them, everybody, while we can. And certainly, you know, while we attend, the more people that attend these events, the better turnout that we have for these events, the better next year's will be in the year forward and that. So make sure to get on down there and check out this event. Have some fun, support local, buy local, and enjoy Two Saints and an Ain't, because that's a great band right there.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
More good stuff coming up, Lacey. We have another Lunch by the River next week, and that is the is that the final one?
It is the last one of the season. Last one.
Yeah, but going out with a bang. Got a lot of good stuff lined up.
We're definitely excited. We have, obviously, our season sponsor, Enbridge, again, and then Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa is going to sponsor this one. And then we have our entertainment from the Southwood County YMCA Turner's Gymnastic Team. So really excited to get to see them. Hopefully we get a lot of kids that come and watch them, too. I know that kids like to watch, you know, obviously people their own age, so that's fun. Keep them out of trouble.
You just never know how much that inspires a kid, and we end up, you know, 20 years later having the next Simone Biles. I mean, who knows? Mm-hmm. Gymnastics are like that. It happened to my my aunt and a couple of other friends of mine that I've known that just really get into that sport, and seeing especially kids your own age doing it can really pull kids into it. And it's just fun in general to support these kids, see all this great work that they're doing, all the time they put into it. Speaking of great work and a lot of time put into an event, as we're wrapping up Lunch by the River, how do you feel looking back at the season? How has it gone for you? How do you, you know, I know you haven't been in charge this whole time. Yeah. It's been a little bit of a mutual thing with you and Katie, but how have you felt these last couple of weeks the event itself has gone?
It's been super fun. I think it's great to kind of get out there and see exactly who, you know, who's coming, where we need to work on. Obviously, we would love to make this bigger. This has been for 30 years, so definitely want to try to get it to where we have more people coming back. And then I want to try to get some more diverse, you know, food trucks. So if anyone is, you know, starting going down that path, I would love to do that. We are also thinking about trying to expand into having some more, not just sponsors, but some other kinds of food vendors, some like different kinds of booths. So maybe not like with on the line, but then in other little areas. And then I would like to do some more like little gaming things for the kids so that they can kind of, I mean, sometimes the kids get a little...
Yeah, a little restless. Yeah.
And
the
parents want to enjoy the show, too. And I think it's fair to make sure that we can kind of cover all age ranges. So I want to try to get some more activities at our own booth, and then get some other sponsors kind of involved in bringing some ideas for like games at their own booths and stuff that they can, you know, maybe little challenges for the kids and kind of keep it fresh.
I got it all figured out for you. Like two or three bounce houses in a row. Just bounce houses.
I have been talking about that. I've been saying I want to get a bouncy house.
You guys out there probably have better ideas. If people who do have ideas for the Lunch by the River, or if there is a vendor out there that is curious about wanting to be a part of things next year, Lacey, is it too early to reach out to you?
No, it's never too early. So absolutely start. We are already writing down, started a Google Docs for this, so they can reach out at communications@chamberofwisconsinrapids.com or 715-422-1830 is my direct number, so they can contact, or they can always stop into the chamber if that works more, if they want to kind of bring something in. I know we actually had some people coming in, we're like, hey, we do this for other areas, so if they want to just come in, show us what they have, if they have like an idea and they kind of want some help, we can absolutely do that there.
Lacey had that information ready to go. You're professional, just locked and loaded. That is great. We appreciate it. We'll get that information out to you again before we wrap up. Lacey, I know we had some other things that we wanted to touch on before we put Laura to work. Talk to Laura. where'd you want to go next?
Okay, so we have the 2023 Downtown Grand Affair and Car Cruise. That's going to be Sunday, September 10th from 10 to 3. We're currently looking for sponsors as well as vendors. And if you are interested in putting your vehicle in, you can absolutely reach out and we can put you in contact with the car club. If you are interested, please reach out. I would love to see some different different kinds of food vendors, as well as we have our cranberry cache is going to start at, our first drawing is going to be there. So obviously, you know, if you want to buy tickets for it, it's one for 10, three for 20. And then we also are going to start that, it's going to be our kickoff, and that's going to be sponsored by U.S. Bank for $250 for that first day at Downtown Grand Affair. So please, if you are interested, you can find us at our community events as well as the chamber from 8 to 4. And then also we have our off the clock event, and that's going to be September 18th, and that's going to be the Kill the Keg, which that seems to be that just that title. It seems to be doing wonders. So that's September 18th, and that's going to be from 4 to 7, obviously at the Raptors Stadium. So, and there will be food and drink provided.
And you know, you have people when you have like something like Kill the Keg, and people that even may not even know what the event is about, but they're excited.
Yes.
That, you know, you got a good title when you have something like that kind of feedback from people.
It definitely seems like that title is going to make this a big success, just based off of like I'm hearing people saying it so much, and it's definitely, it's off the clock. So we'll be there, and then we'll be excited to talk to you about any other opportunities we have at the chamber. But definitely come check it out. Try to get inside the stadium, take a closer look if you haven't got to.
And another opportunity to head over to Winterfield one more time this summer. It's kind of nice.
Yes.
Fall, whatever you want to say. That's kind of cool. I think that's a fun thing to combine with the Raptors and you guys. That's always a nice combination. And going back to the Downtown Grand Affair, which is one of our favorite events, of course, we're losing a lot of our car cruises. And I know, just talking to a lot of car enthusiasts, I got a lot of friends that are, and talking to them, every time there's a car cruise going forward and they're in shouting distance of it, they're showing up. So it's really cool to be able to host this and have this event along with the car crews.
Yep, and they'll be right on the bridge. So we're hoping, when I talked to him like on later last week, he's hoping that we can get around 200 cars. So we're ambitious to try to fill that up. So if you are interested, registration is going to be there, but you can also reach out to him if you're a little bit farther away for commuting with your vehicle. And we would absolutely love to. I love cars. I'm a car person. Mm-hmm. So I would love to get some of the rare gems that we don't see a lot of. I think it would be really fun to get them there.
Looking forward to this event. And again, we'll give you the information how you can reach Lacey and be a part of it in just a moment. Lacey, wanted to wrap up with you with our new Investor of the Month.
Yes. So Zen Leaf Aesthetics, they're actually the Investor of the Month. So they've been, I think they were in April is when she started her business, but we're trying to spotlight investors each month. So she's great. She's definitely newer and definitely has a lot of fun, fresh ideas. And then she also has a discount for like the first time you go in there for services up to, I think, 20%. So I think really cool if your kids are going back to school, they want to get a facial, obviously, you know, start the fall with a fresh look. So definitely check her out. She's on our chamber page as well as her Zen Leaf Aesthetics Facebook page.
I agree with you about the kids, but I think I could use go over there.
I could definitely use it.
I could use it. All the help I can get. I definitely check it out. And we welcome her to town, welcome her to the area and to the chamber and a part of the family and everything. That's very cool. Lacey Ayling, Events and Engagement Director with your Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Thank you very much, Lacey, for that.
Thank you.
And thank you for bringing and sharing your time with Laura. Laura Bonner Ridgeway is with us with Workforce. She's a Community Development Director with them. And Laura, thank you so much for being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate the time, especially when it comes to being able to talk about a subject like this. I'll let you kind of go ahead and take the lead here. But what are you joining us today to talk about?
So I have two programs that we are currently doing. It is the Community Leadership Program as well as our Teen Leadership Program. Our Community Leadership Program is for adults, and it starts in October. We are looking for more participants up until September 15th. Okay. If anybody is interested in joining this program, they can stop by the chamber. They could call, reach out to me. Email workforce@wisconsinrapidschamber.com.
Let's focus on the adult program, and then we'll get to the teen program. With the adult program, this has been around a long time, and whenever we've talked about it in the past, one of my favorite notes of it is the organic relationships and friendships and different bonds that get made through this, and how beneficial those can be 4, 5, 10 years later. I think that's such an interesting aspect of it.
Absolutely, the
I've just started with this program. I came into it at the end of last year. And everything that I've heard from people along the way is it's an amazing program to really network and get to know other people in the community, other business people who join that typically they don't get an opportunity to talk with and be around. And with it being from October to May, and they meet once a month for an entire day, and they go through different leadership aspects of it and get to see the community and learn a lot about our community, as well as a community tour to another community, with that spending the day together once a month from October to May, they said that they really had the opportunity to bond and connect, and a lot of them do carry it with them for years later.
It's not a big time commitment, so that really helps, you know, because adding on this to your plate can sometimes keep people back from it and everything. But you hear that and you know, okay, well, I can do that. Most people can give up an hour a month or what have you. And then especially when you find out the return on your investment of your time for that. I've talked with people for about 5-6 years, the time I've been doing this show, we've been talking about this program, and it never fails. I guarantee you sometime this week I will hear from somebody, oh, I took that class and I met so-and-so, or this happened. One of the ones that I always find interesting, especially in the town like this, our size, is how many people I hear, you know, I didn't even know this was around. It wasn't until I took the leadership class that I found out this business was around, or this person was around, or something, or I haven't seen you since high school, that kind of thing. It's interesting when we think of a small town, you don't think about that stuff very often, but there's a lot going on that you may not know about. This is part of the reason the Chamber joins us every month and highlights events. It's also part of the reason for the leadership program.
Absolutely.
What is something that stands out to you, Laura, about you both, two L names, okay?
I know.
That's throwing me, you guys. No, that's sorry.
At least Stacy wasn't here, because then it would be Lacey, Stacy, and Laura, or Laura, Lacey, and Stacy.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good, Laura. Lacey, what is something, especially with fresh eyes, somebody coming into this a little newer, what's something that really stands out to you about this, to why, okay, I would have my kid, or I would suggest one of my friends taking this program?
I just think the overall dynamic of getting to meet other people and having the networking opportunity, bonding with other people. You know, sometimes as adults, you're like in work all the time and that's what you're focused on, and you don't really get a chance to go out there and new, fresh ways of meeting other people in the workforce. And to be able to have that opportunity, as well as getting to see more of the community and things that it's like, well, I've lived here forever, but oh, I didn't really know much about this business, or never seen it before, and to learn those things.
I think anybody can benefit from this. The greatest leaders I've ever known are all adaptable and always open to learning more, and don't believe that they know everything. That they can always get better at their job, whatever it is, whether they've been doing it for 4 days or 4 years or 40 years, they can get better at said job. But I do think that this program can be really beneficial to people that are just getting into the business field, whatever that field might be. People coming out of college or people just joining the workforce could be really benefited from this, I think. And if you're an employer out there and you're looking, well, how do I get, you know, my employees these days to be better leaders, to be better individuals at their job, or cared more, be focused more, any of these things? This program is one of those ways of doing that.
Absolutely. Paul has been the facilitator for the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Adults that he has been doing. That is the big leadership component of this program. And in the end, a lot of the participants have often said that they did absolutely learn about themselves quite a bit, which therefore then helps them become better leaders.
We'll talk more about this, but do appreciate it. And we'll, as we're getting closer and closer to the time to register, I want to make sure to talk about this endlessly to make sure that we get a full stock of people for you guys. But I really think this is unique to the teen leadership program. I want to get into that a little bit with you now, Lacey. Laura, I knew I was going to do it at least once to you guys. I knew it at least once. So real quick, I teach improv, acting, writing, and do this for a big school, a popular school in Chicago. But one of the things that we noticed was when our students graduated, it was kind of like, okay, you graduated, now get out there. All right, I'm out there.
What do I do now? I'm out here. What do I do? And well, good luck. That's what we do. You know, that's so. One of my former teachers and I created a program for kids when they graduate. Okay, what's next? How do you get an agent? What is an agent going to tell you? What is a proper percentage for that agent to take? Blah blah blah. All of this. I think it's so cool to me when we hear of these kind of bridge programs or these bridge activities that are available for young people. And so the teen leadership program feels like to me as that is kind of like you're getting out of high school. What's next? Obviously college for some, many go into the workforce, but that doesn't tell you everything. School can prepare you for a lot, but not always, you know, the gray area things. Is that where the teen leadership program comes in?
So the focus of the teen leadership program is to, we have sophomore students, we take about 25 from five different high schools in the area, and they go through this program from September to May, meet once a month, an entire day, and we named it the Cool Teen Leadership Program, standing for Community, Occupations, Organizations, and Leadership.
Oh, I love a good acronym. Oh, that's good.
She's all good of that.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
So the community aspect is we're getting them in the community, in the area, to see different organizations that show them, here's the business, here's the organization, this is occupations within this organization that we have that are all right here in the community. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of the day is really focused on leadership. And what we had done with this program is we have put together all of the clusters. Mm-hmm. So the DPI, or you know, even if you looked at the Mid-State website, they have all career clusters. And mm-hmm. so we focused on 8 of those clusters. Mm-hmm. And that is just kind of the focus for the day. So they start the day off with tours, and then they come back. We have speakers who talk mm-hmm. about the different occupations or the businesses that they've seen, and we also do a DPI-focused leadership that we do with them, which is also the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens, mm-hmm. And we go into that, and we just have the conversations with them, the biggest one being sometimes you might know exactly what you want to do, and that's great, and you kind of get to see it firsthand and a little bit more in depth, but other times you may not know what you want to do at that age. So you can also start to rule out things, so then you're not necessarily spending as much time thinking you might want to do something. So yeah, it's definitely a bridge. Mm-hmm. It's something that we want to be able to show them firsthand, up close and personal, so they can just get a better understanding of the occupations, career paths that they could be taking right here in our community.
I was 7 years old, and I knew right away what I wanted to do. I saw Rob Williams on TV. I'm like, I want to be an actor. And so for the next 12, 15 years, whatever it was, that was my focus, and that was what I wanted to do. And getting out of right my senior year in high school, we had the opportunity to go to this conference and see Gary Sinise speak and him talk about it. And he took questions afterwards. And all these people are asking these questions about acting and process and this and that and everything. And I raised my hand, and I'm like, How do you get a break? How do you break into this industry? And he laughs, and he tells us about agents and Screen Actors Guild and all this, and my mind is blown, because for 15, 20 years, all I thought is I had to just train to be an actor. I didn't know you had to do this, this, and this, and you can't do this without this. Having somebody to give you guidance when it comes to that, when it comes to this kind of thing, is so beneficial, whether you know what you've wanted to do your whole life or you are still figuring it out. It can be really beneficial to have a program like this.
Absolutely.
Is there a type of student, is there a type of person that we're looking for with these programs? If you are an employer out there and you're kind of hearing this and thinking, well, I'm on the fence. I think this person might be a good quality candidate for it, or I'm not sure. We want people to be certain, to invest in this and put into this and put the right people into it.
So I speak with the teens at the end of the year who are getting ready to be a sophomore, and I do talk to them about how sometimes people envision a leader to be a certain person, mm-hmm. and that's not always the case. Leaders come in many different forms, mm-hmm. and it also depends on what they need a leader for in that particular thing. So it's like, well, if you know a lot about something, or if you're a good listener. So there's a lot of things that go into it. So I talk to the kids a lot about, just because you may not think you're a leader, mm-hmm. if you go through this and you start to see, maybe you are a leader, and yeah. how to get that out. So that's kind of really the focus with the teens.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the businesses, like I said, our career clusters that we're focusing on, mm-hmm. and we want to do the three tours in the morning. Mm-hmm. So we are still looking for businesses for that, if they're interested. One of the big ones that we're really looking for different businesses to come in and help with the tours would be information technology. Mm-hmm. Would probably be our biggest one right now, as well as agriculture, food, and natural resources. So. Mm-hmm. Looking for a couple more tour stops, a couple more businesses if they want to be a tour stop to showcase their business to these teens and show them what it's all about. Reach out to the chamber, mm-hmm. and we can connect.
And Laura, how would they get in touch with you?
Workforce at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com, or they can reach me
at 715-422-4860.
Oh, that was good, you two. That was nice. Nicely done. That was good. And you can find out more information at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. That's all one word, WisconsinRapidsChamber.com. Be sure to support the Chamber and follow them on social media. It's a great way to keep up on all the things going on in your community. Laura, Lacey, thank you so much for the time today. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Have a great day. We'll talk again real soon. Well, more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Good news for Nakusa residents. The work to complete the railroad crossing on Market Street will begin the last week of August. Crews will fix the rough crossing that's been troubling drivers for the past year. They expect the project to take about a month. Traffic will be detoured around the area. Teacher turnover in Wisconsin is the highest it's been over the past 14 years. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows nearly 1 in 6 teachers, or 15.8%, have left the profession or moved to a new district during the last 2 school years. The previous average annual turnover was 11.5%. The Cap Times reports the highest turnover involved teachers of color or those who work in Wisconsin's smallest districts. State Superintendent Jill Underlie said long-term solutions to retain staff will require more money, and there needs to be improvement in the overall culture and climate around teaching. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning and continues until 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 72. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Bright sunshine tomorrow, high of 98. 70 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered storms.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 22nd, 2023. I have your host, James J. here, and I am joined by our great friend, we appreciate so very much, Sue Sipple is with us from the Family Center. Good afternoon, Sue.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
Doing well.
You haven't been with us since we've been recording these and everything, so very understandable. I'm just proud I haven't done the whole good morning thing yet. Just give it a minute. We got 20-some minutes, Sue. I'll do it at some point. Journalistically, I want to mention that I am not only on the board at the Family Center, but Deb and Sue were some of the first people I interviewed in this job to help me get... If you think I'm any good at this job, a big part of it starts with those two. I want to say right away a big thank you to you for that, and obviously for bringing me into the family at the Family Center. It means the world to me. It's some of the greatest work I'll ever do in my life, and I don't feel like I do much, but what little bit of a piece of things I am over there is so humbling, and I'm so appreciative of. Doesn't happen without you, so thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I think many times, you know, I've acknowledged the asset you and the station have been. You know, in getting the word out, you and your deep understanding and, you know, provocative questions, perhaps, discussions we've had that we've really gone, you know, into the weeds on some things to help the community understand, right? That's the purpose, is really engaging the community. So
For those that don't know, Sue is retiring as executive director with the Family Center after how long, Sue?
Well, I was at the Family Center about 7 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was in Manitowoc, and prior to that in Stevens Point at CAP Services Family Crisis Center. Mm-hmm. So a total of 27 years working in the domestic violence sexual assault field.
Mm-hmm.
pretty my whole life really working for nonprofits, but in the last 27 years, domestic violence and sexual assault.
There are people, and I know this from talking to sex crime detectives, from people in the other aspects of the industry. There are people that go into this world after like 4 or 5 years of college or those kind of things, and can't make it more than 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
How have you managed to stay in this industry that long, and keep your heart intact?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, surrounding myself with good people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Relying, I think, on the support of my peers, the other directors around the state, and learning from some of the folks that were like me when I started, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Some of those folks that had been around a while and helped, you know, kind of set a, what I want to say, kind of an internal system that stays calm in crisis, that, you know, is very empathetic with
mm-hmm.
clients,
mm-hmm.
And sees the good work that happens over time, you know. And I think it isn't the easiest field to be in, especially on the front line, and mm-hmm. I've done that. I haven't done that a lot recently. I pitch in, but that front line is really tough. So
When it comes to, you mentioned changes. Mm-hmm. When it comes to changes at the Family Center from when you started to where we are now, what are some of the bigger highlights there mm-hmm. for you?
Some of the things that stand out.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things was just prior to COVID, a couple years prior to COVID, we started kind of a philosophy of mobile advocacy.
Mm.
So not so much expecting people to come to meet with us at the Family Center,
mm-hmm.
but being places, having mm-hmm. office hours at the courthouse, having office hours at MSTC, office hours at the library, mm-hmm. kind of being out there where people are, has been a change that I think has benefited the community. One of the little things, I don't know, I was thinking about this morning. When I came, we started recognizing Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
There really hadn't been much of an event during that month.
Mm.
And so when I came that first October, we planned something and we inaugurated the first Domestic Violence a Month Awareness Awards,
mm-hmm.
Recognizing community members, board members, businesses that have really made a difference in the prior year. I know the radio station got it one
mm-hmm.
year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think, you know, that kind of shift to trying to engage the community,
mm-hmm.
mobile advocacy, and then recognizing, you know, those important people in the community has been something. We started during my time, again, a couple years before COVID, the Touch a Truck fundraiser that we just wrapped up.
Yeah.
So fun time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, didn't raise tons of money, but really was a good event for the community and raised awareness. And so that was a good event. We've added positions since
mm-hmm.
I came. One of them pretty early on was adding a legal systems advocate. Prior to that, if you wanted a restraining order or you were involved with the criminal justice system or the civil system,
mm-hmm.
divorce, custody, any one of our advocates could help you. And frankly, some were better at it than others,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think from, again, the community perspective, the courts were like, who are you and where are you from again?
Mm-hmm.
And so we created a position that would be the primary person mm-hmm. to interact with the court system
mm-hmm.
in the criminal justice and civil justice system. That gave us a presence that, you know, build some credibility, and clients got better services.
Mm-hmm.
So adding that position comes to mind as a big one. We recently created a position just called Domestic Abuse Services Coordinator. So we have a lot of specialized positions, but didn't have somebody who kind of just provided the services to a non-shelter resident that
mm-hmm.
was a domestic violence victim. So I think that helped.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in terms of physical highlights. We are, I think, flipping the switch this weekend on solar.
Yay!
So we anticipate that's saving us about 30% on our energy usage.
Man.
Going forward.
Yeah.
Our roof wasn't big enough, or we probably would have been able to add on. Mm. We did a little bit of fundraising. There's still, if you'd like to buy a solar panel, just over $1,000, that would be great. So adding solar panels, we are about to, in 2024, which will be our 40th anniversary at the Family Center, establish an endowment. That is another piece along with solar that will help position the Family Center to be as frugal, saving as much as we can on the cost end, and yet having a little nest egg that will continue to provide some income as fundraising and, frankly, government grants have become quite competitive, and we're seeing shrinking funds in those government grant areas, and so we need to do some things to kind of shore up the foundation, if you will, so that we can continue to provide the services that we provide.
Thank you for that kind of walk down memory lane a little bit there. One of the things that stands out to me so much about everything you just mentioned there is bridges. Building bridges with the community, building bridges with the youth, with the Touch a Truck event, and bringing them more into the fold with the subject matter that sometimes we don't let kids to hear about until it's, you know, they're teenagers, or I don't want to say too late, but much later. The younger they hear about these things, the more aware and common it will be in their head if it comes up later, which, you know, we don't want to, of course, but they're more aware of. That's big. Building the bridges with just community members. You and I, well, I don't know if we're in the same generation. We come from the generations of hushed voices, you know, the hushed voices generation. It got a little bit, it was hopefully improving during yours, got a little bit better during mine, but there was a lot of time in between there. And here we are today in 2023. And really, I would say since the early aughts there, or I would say since the early 20-aughts, you know, 20s, the roaring 20s, if you will, things have gotten a little bit more where we're having these conversations with raised voices now, where we're talking normally and having these discussions. But that's, from me, in an outsider perspective. Have you seen it that way, Sue, or do you think we still have a long way to go?
Well, I think it's true. Most domestic violence programs and the whole domestic violence movement, if you will, began in the 80s, in the early 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at that point, I was 30, in my 30s. Prior to that, I mean, we still hear from people older than me. Back in the day, there was no place like this for me to go, right? So, you know, shelters began cropping up in the early 80s, the mandatory arrest law. So domestic violence definitely took an awareness leap back then, before it was definitely not talked about. I think that there's still a ways to go. Our prevention educator is another position we added since I came, when working with youth to try to get on the front end, to try to help younger people understand what a healthy relationship looks like. I think there's still a lot of misconceptions, right? There's still a fair amount of blaming the victim for what's happening. Pretty much happens every day, right? I think we've talked many times about if we really want to end domestic violence, we need the whole community to be on board, from, you know, penalties for abusers to, you know, programs to help abusers find a different way in relationships, to people calling their friends out, sort of like we do with drinking, right? How that's evolved over the years. You know, I think we've got a long way to go before we're going to see an end to domestic violence.
Yeah. We have to keep our eyes on the prize here,
mm-hmm.
while also appreciating all the trailblazing and the work that has been done to get us to this point of mm-hmm. growth, where mm-hmm. we are a lot better than we were 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, we would like to be a heck of a lot farther along mm-hmm. the lines 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. We're not going to wait that long either. Mm-hmm. I do think that, and I'm curious to know what you think, the progress has been slow over mm-hmm. the years, even going back to the 80s, where, you know, you kind of jumped into this and everything. Now, I feel like we're seeing progress happening a little bit faster. It's not taking 5-10 years for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, from your perspective of the industry, are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, and I think what in the 80s, it was a lot of, I guess I'll risk being a little off color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were seen as bra burners. We were seen as angry women.
Yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Angry at everybody, the mm-hmm. abuser, the police, everybody, right?
Yeah.
I think over time we realized that that really didn't get us anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that what we needed to do was try to engage and work mm-hmm. with and bring along and increase understanding. That's been slow. You know, there are areas where we made progress, I think particularly in this community with law enforcement,
mm-hmm.
right? And I wasn't here in the 80s, so I don't know what it was like back then. But
yeah,
in general, you know, law enforcement is empathetic and
mm-hmm.
understanding and wanting to do the best for victims in this community.
I wanted to bring that up. I'm really glad that you touched on that, because I think that while you can't go house to house mm-hmm. and trying to make sure that every single citizen is on the same page as us, or checking if they are, trying to inform them mm-hmm. to be. But what's a one way to kind of do that? Well, covering a lot of bases without mm-hmm. being able to go house to house,
mm-hmm.
law enforcement.
Right.
Because if you can get law enforcement on mm-hmm. your side with this subject matter, that's gigantic. For too long, we didn't have that
right.
as a society.
Yeah.
It was, there's the law, and then you kind of played it by ear when you showed up. Like, that's mm-hmm. not the case anymore.
Right.
I'm not saying it's perfect,
right.
but it has improved by leaps and bounds when it comes to that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff is a rural thing. It's a local thing.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, you know, people mm-hmm. like you in your position to be able to make those relationships and build those bonds.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about this before with you. I MC Men in the Kitchen some years back, and I have never been to a family center, you know, event other than Touch a Truck or something. And I wasn't really sure how this was going to go, what to expect. And the first thing I see when I walk in is not just men, but our mayor, Mayor mm-hmm. Blazer. I see mm-hmm. Sheriff Becker. I see, at the time, Andy Francis, head of the Rafters. I
mm-hmm.
I see not just men, but men in important positions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it stands out to me. And I don't think that happens without you. Without, and not to say that, these individuals they don't care,
mm-hmm.
but you reaching out to them, mm-hmm. them realizing how important it is to be a part of these kind of events.
Mm-hmm.
Our community is that much stronger and beneficial because of those relationships and those bridges being built.
Well, I've always felt, you know, it's better to work smarter than harder.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and you can have, like you say, you could work the line
mm-hmm.
one-on-one with people, or you could find agents or
yes.
emissaries or, you know, a person that mm-hmm. you can bring on board with understanding. And then it, you know, it spreads out multifold. You know, our advocates mostly work at the ground level, right?
Mm-hmm.
One-on-one, helping the victim through the process. I always saw my role as working as a peer,
mm-hmm.
a humble peer,
mm-hmm.
with community leaders, right? And dealing with stuff kind of in the abstract, not so much about this client here,
mm-hmm.
but trends,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
Or problems, community problems, things, protocols we could create
mm-hmm.
that would make it better for a whole lot of people. So, yeah.
We're speaking with Sue Sipple from the Family Center. Sue, I have to ask the mandatory question when somebody is retiring and leaving and such. Actually, two mandatory questions, really. The first one, when you look back at your career, what do you feel is your legacy?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough
one. I hope nobody ever asks me that question.
I know. That's a tough one. Well, you know, I've involved myself not only in the community, in a number of different communities, since this is the third one I worked in, and kind of left a little trail of crumbs of change, but involved myself in, at the state level. I'm a governor's appointment on the governor's council on domestic abuse. I'm co-chair of the council. I plan to continue that.
Okay.
And I plan to continue a couple of the state level things because I
didn't
just
know
can't,
that. Good on you.
Can't let go. I keep saying, well, I could come to one more meeting. Keep sending me the agenda, some of the committees I'm on, even at the state level or at the local level. But, you know, some of the governor's council I've been on since 2013, so 10 years. I've been on their budget committee since 2007. And, you know, that has an impact at the state level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I am I'm the oldest, not in age, but in terms of I'm the longest serving member of the council. Mm. I'm up for reappointment. I just talked to the, it's an interesting process. When you're appointed to the governor's council, you have to go through Senate confirmation hearings, just like you on C-SPAN.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And get asked questions by a committee.
Interesting.
I had a meet and greet on Friday with the chair of the committee that I'll appear before. And it was an intense but really interesting conversation that we covered a lot of ground about, and he was a retired police chief and now a senator from Altoona, I believe he said. Mm. Anyway, you know, to have somebody listen to some of the years of experience and things that I know and have learned about domestic violence victims, what works, what doesn't, I hope that's what people remember.
Yeah, I think that I feel very confident that they will. I think that's a gigantic part of it.
Yeah.
I also think that the people is a big part of your legacy. It's the people's lives that you've touched. Mm. I started our program here with that and how much you've impacted my life. And we haven't even known each other that long. I can't imagine the clients that you've helped. There's no words for putting into, we have no idea, you know, lives that have been saved or lives that have been bettered, the countless numbers that has been over the 30 years you've been doing this. Mm-hmm. That's a huge part of it, I would think. And you kind of answered this question already a little bit earlier when we were talking about changes at the Family Center over the years and some of the things that have gone on, and even touching on the solar power thing.
Mm-hmm.
While we are wishing nothing but great things for a new executive director, Tricia, her position is going to be that much, I don't want to say easier, but smoother because of so many of the things that you have set into motion. And certainly want to make sure that I'm not just saying that Sue did all this by herself. Mm-mm. You have an amazing team over there. Mm-hmm. But that also is part of your legacy because these are people that you have oftentimes sought out or said, hey, you'd be a good board member.
Yep.
And then there's a knucklehead like me and like, I don't know about that, Sue. And like, no, you would be. And then here I am a couple years later thanking you to God that you had helped me do this and I engaged in this and everything. Mm-hmm. I genuinely think that a big part of your legacy is the people's lives that you have touched, whether they are clients or people like myself.
Well, when you go down that path, when I came, there were three board members.
Mm, really? Wow.
Most had left.
Whoa.
There had been some turmoil in the times leading up to when I came, and you know, they were down to three board members. The staff all had been hired within the last year and a half. And everything was new. Every crisis was never a crisis encountered before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that took a good deal of my time in the early years, just, you know, trying to provide some stability in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
When you mention a client, there's a person that I helped in Manitowoc. I had attended a national conference on technology safety, and I came back all excited about all the doodads. And she was being stalked by her abuser, who was very tech savvy. I basically helped her get a new identity and remove any presence of her online.
Mm.
I ran into her daughter, who at the time was in grade school, the other day, who talked about what a difference I made in that lifespan and the family and her mom and how she today can live free Right?
God, that's beautiful. So, that's
so
really beautiful.
You often don't see that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And have that validation, but it was quite humbling running into her.
I'm so happy that you got that. I certainly, first and foremost, they have that. But that you like you say, you don't get the follow-up story very often, mm-hmm. you know? You don't get to find out what happens next sometimes.
Rightly so. You know what I mean? People need to move on and live their life. We really don't want people to be dependent. You know, it was a celebration, right? But to be reminded of that, that one...
Yeah, it's something you hold deep in your heart, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of the next chapter, your last day is the 25th.
Yep,
I don't like
Friday.
It any more than you do, but what is next for you? What does the future hold? Please tell me you're going to relax and be lazy at some point and just read a book or something.
Well, initially, my son is coming from New York for a visit.
Oh,
we're
cool.
going to the Dells for a couple of days.
Right
and
on.
So this is the nonprofit Wisconsin version of going to Disneyland.
yes. Just so
after the Super Bowl here, I'm going to the Dells.
I'm going to the Dells. Yeah, that's great. Oh, that's good.
So initially that, I've committed myself to a number of things at the state level, reading. I'm a grant reviewer for a grant. I'm part of the Domestic Abuse Council, some of their work. I'm one of the funders has asked me to go with them and help a program with the software that we use. So, you know, there's in the short term, there's a bunch of stuff to keep me busy.
Yeah.
I will not do well to just sit. So I got to find things to keep me busy and engaged and making a difference.
You are as bad as my mother at retirement. You are really, you're not doing this.
I'm not
going to
be good at retirement.
But you've earned it. You have earned it. And I do hope that while it may not be that often, I do hope you have some days here where you're bored and you're being lazy and you're enjoying your just being around your family or whatever, because you've earned this. We greatly appreciate you, Sue. I thought a good way to wrap up would be to touch on volunteers and how we could use volunteers over at the Family Center.
We could. I know Deb, who's our volunteer coordinator, just put something on our Facebook post about looking for a shopper. Oh my gosh, this is simple. Going once a week, whenever you usually go to the grocery store, picking up the things on our grocery list.
Yeah.
Not a ton. It's usually a couple bags of groceries for the shelter. We'll give you a credit card to pay for it. So you know, we're not asking you to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do the shopping for us.
You know,
that can save so much staff time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a consistent shopper for a while. I don't know if she's backing down or Deb is just looking for some help for her. So, but you know, basically what you want to spend some time volunteering, we'll find a spot for you. Everything from answering the phone to grocery shopping to maintenance to, you know, helping out at Touch a Truck. We really struggled finding volunteers for Touch a Truck. So, you know, we're trying to build that list of people with a specific thing they want to do, or just call me if you need something and I'll see if I got some minutes to come fold some letters or, do you know?
We deeply appreciate dollars and cents. They help keep the vital work going on at the Family Center. But, you know, when you can spend an hour or two of your time to do these things, we appreciate it just as much.
Yep.
And it's one less thing that you and the team over there have to have on your plate. And you can be free to do the vital work that you guys are doing at the Family Center. People want to find out more about that. We encourage you to go to familyctr.org. That is all one word, familyctr.org. Otherwise, you can call 424-6183, 424-6183. Of course, the Family Center has their crisis line that is available 24/7. We've got your back, 421-1511, 421-1511. We got to do this again. This can't be the last time we talk. We'll have to talk again sometime. Thank you so much for everything
you
have brought to this community, brought to me and our station. We appreciate you.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll talk again soon, Sue. You're not getting rid of me. We're talking again soon.
We'll see.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. You'll find complete coverage of the first Republican presidential debate all day on your local civic media radio station.
All the show hosts will be broadcasting from the Deer District in Milwaukee. Listen live starting at 8 a.m. Then join Todd Alba and Kristen Bry at 6 as they talk with state and national political experts.
Special live coverage of the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee all day, Wednesday, August 23rd, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands of people don't have power now around Corpus Christi as Tropical Storm Harold hammers South Texas. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen is tracking it.
The worst of the effects from Harold are going to be to the south of Houston. There are tropical storm warnings in effect from south of Galveston on down towards Corpus Christi and to the Mexico coastline.
Meantime, millions in Texas and several other states are battling another intense heat wave. KFDM's Mello Stiles talked to firefighters in Orange.
Air can't move on your body. Your sweat can't go anywhere.
So how hot can it really get inside their suits when they are fighting fires in these current temps?
I would say it feels probably like you're 115 degrees on a normal day wearing that.